come to you today, and I pray, Father, that you'll just give us knowledge and wisdom. Help us to teach and to preach thy word, and let me say the things that you would have to be said that would bring glory and honor to you. I pray that you'll remove anything in our minds and our hearts that might hinder the service. I pray that the Spirit of God would have his way in our lives and in our minds as we study your word. Lord, if there's one here that's lost, we pray that they'll see their need of a Savior and realize that everything that needed to be done has been done for them. And may this be the day that they'll trust you as their Savior. Those that couldn't be here for whatever reason, you know their hearts, you know the situation. We just pray that your will would be done in their lives, and we pray that you'll put a desire in their heart to come where they can hear and fellowship around your word. And everything is accomplished, Lord. We realize there's many that are sick, and Father, we just pray for them. Lord, we'll give you the praise for all that you do, for Christ's sake. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe, and that is the faith there, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. People say faith, and to just simplify the thing about faith is, all faith possibly could be is just believing and taking God at his word. The Lord says it, I believe it. That's faith. And you trust, believe in what he says. But without it, you can never be pleasing to the Lord. That is the first step of pleasing him, is to believe him. Now notice, I can't remember, but anyway, I remember a phrase. You know, seeing is believing. But that's not true. Believing is seeing. That is truth. I think about Cain and Abel. In fact, in this passage, you'll find that where it says in verse 4 that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, his faith, he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. How is that? He believed God. God told him what to bring. God told him how to bring it. God told him where to bring it. And in the manner to bring it. And he took God at his word. He believed what God says and offered that sacrifice. Cain, on the other hand, he did not believe God. He believed that he could do something better. He believed he had a better way. And there's no doubt in my mind, Cain wanted to see something. Just like multitudes of people today, they go to their assemblies in hopes to see something. I hear it all the time, oh, that we might see the moving of God, that we might see the power of God. People today want to see They want to feel. They want to touch. And yet, God's people in Israel, we have a group of people that they saw the power of God. They saw the water part and went on dry ground. They saw the mighty acts of the Lord that He did in Egypt when He delivered them out of that country. They heard the voice of God speaking behind the veil. They could hear God talking to Moses. They saw, they heard, they could feel the manna that was rained down out of heaven as they ate it. They could feel the quails that came as they ate it and prepared it. They could hear it, they could see it, they could touch it, and yet they did not follow God. Faith, seeing, is not believing. Believing is what sees. By faith, all God requires of you. And I said, as Cain, he wanted to see. You know what he was wanting to see? There's no doubt in my mind, many a time Adam taught them boys what to bring, where to bring it, how to prepare it, take it there. Adam no doubt had a place that God wanted him to bring the sacrifice. And at a certain time of year, he would prepare that and go up there. And you know how God, he knew God accepted the sacrifice? The same way that God's accepted all the sacrifices. Fire would come down and consume it. You read about it over and over in the New Testament. When they would offer a sacrifice. I think about Manoah and Samson's daddy. As he prepared that angel, he prepared a sacrifice, a meal for him. And fire came down, and then he went up into the fire and the smoke. And you'll find it over and over when they'd offer a sacrifice. Elijah on Mount Carmel prayed a 63-word prayer after he had soaked everything. The prophets of Baal started at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they built an altar, and they had their service, and they leaped, and they hollered, and they hooted, and they cut themselves, and they done all of this. And Elijah said, cry loud. Maybe he's on a journey. I mean, go ahead and cry. Is he a god? Is he sleeping? And he was making fun of the prophets of Baal. Then Elijah prepared the altar, and he cut up the sacrifices, laid everything out on there, and he took barrels of water, 12 of them, and he poured on the sacrifice. He digged a ditch around that altar, and he poured so much water on that sacrifice that the waters run down and into the ditch and filled the ditch up. He saturated everything. There was no way no spark's going to light this. And he prayed 63 words. And 63 words, you know what happened? The fire of God fell. They saw it. That's what people want today. They don't want to walk by faith. They want to walk by sight. They want to walk by touch. They want to walk by something they can hear. Well, I want to tell you something today. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's no fire going to fall in here. If it does, I want to be out of the building. I'm not coming here to feel anything. I don't come here to hear anything. I don't come here to see anything. I come here. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about fellowshipping. I'm talking about seeing the power of God. Folks, I want to tell you something right here is the power of God. Yeah, the power of God is in words that comes out of the teachers and the preachers and the testimonies of the members of the body of Christ. As therefore as we believed, we speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You tell what a man's mouth, a heart is by his words, by his actions. But look in Hebrews again. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And notice in Romans chapter 4, believing is seeing. Romans chapter 4. Notice in Romans 4, all God requires of you to be righteous now is faith. That's all God requires of you. If you want to be righteous and you're not righteous, all God requires of you to be righteous is faith. Look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 3. He said, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, his belief, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his belief. People say, believing is not faith, and faith is not trust, and all that. Baloney. Abraham believed God. Now look, he said in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his baptism. They don't say that, does it? His church membership. It doesn't say that. His good works. It don't say that. He said, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Look down in verse 9. He said in verse 9, he said, cometh this blessing then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Look down with me in the passage. Come over to verse. And what is this thing? What is this that God spoke to Abraham that he believed? Well, he said there in verse 17. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. In other words, God had told him, you're going to be the father of many nations. Your seed is going to outnumber the stars. Your seed is going to be more than the sand of the seashore. And Abraham did not have a seed. And so he thought he could help God out like we all do. And he went into Sarah's handmaid and Hagar and had a child by her, Ishmael. And God said, that's not the seed. It's seeds. I'm not going to bring your nations through that guy. You're going to have a child. And Sarah's going to have a child. Here's a 100-year-old man, 99 years old to be exact. And he's going to be 100 years old, and Sarah 90 years old. And God said, you're going to have a child, a natural child, with a natural childbirth. That takes some faith, don't it? I mean, think about it. But look what he said. In verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now here's my verse. And being fully persuaded what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it, his belief, was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham, being fully persuaded. That word persuaded, it's assurance. It's to trust. Have full confidence in something that's promised or somebody, a person. Being fully persuaded. Being having all the confidence in. And to be able to trust without any reservation. That's the way Abraham was. He was persuaded of three things. And I want to give you them three things. But look what he's talking. Turn with me and look at this thing. Turn over to Philippians. In Philippians chapter 1. Here's the word. Persuaded. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6, being confident, there it is, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. Look in chapter 2, verse 24. Chapter 2, verse 24, but I trust, there's the word. There's the same word as persuaded, as confidence. I trust. Folks, I want to tell you something. If you're persuaded of something, you have confidence in that or somebody, and you can trust that person. Notice in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, or chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, notice verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter, did I say chapter 2? 1. That's what I want. Verse 12. For which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. There's his faith. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul had all the confidence in the Lord. Why? He believed something.
Folks, I want to tell you, if you want to be righteous today, you don't have to do anything to be righteous. You don't have to do anything in your flesh, but you do have to believe something. And you have to put your confidence and your trust and be persuaded in your mind that that which you are putting your trust in is able to perform that which He said. Three things that Abraham, Paul, everyone, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Number one, that God is able. There in the passage of Timothy, you'll find where he said, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's what? Able." You'll never be able to have confidence in the Lord or anybody else if you don't believe that he's able to do what he said. Faith is believing the Scripture. Faith is taking God at His Word. But if you don't take that Word and believe that He's able to perform that Word, then you don't trust Him. You do not have confidence in Him. And you cannot please Him walking like that. Notice this thing about it. Confidence. It's mighty. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Confidence. Able. The word able there, Ephesians chapter 1, is the same word as mighty in Ephesians chapter 1. Now notice in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believed according to the working of His mighty," there's the word, "power." Able, mighty, powerful. He's all powerful. Folks, I want to tell you, we serve, we are in the body of Christ that's created by a powerful, almighty God. And beside Him, there is no other God. He is the one that hung the stars out there and gave their names to them. He's the one that put Orion where Orion is at and named them clusters and them galaxies. And the whole universe was there. He spoke it into existence through His mighty power. And here we are. Now galaxies like an S-shape, and at the bottom of that S-shape in the southern end is a little tiny planet. And on that planet is people, can just specks of earth. And yet God is mindful of that. And old David realized all of that. He said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou would have visited him?" Why would God Almighty, all powerful, creator of heaven and earth, be even have any thoughts to somebody like me? But he does. Don't tell me God is not able. Man walks around with his little chicken breast stuck out thinking he's somebody. Let me tell you something, you are a nobody. Think about being there. God Almighty, look at this thing. Turn with me to Isaiah. Look in the book of Isaiah. People talk about the power of positive thinking. Well, I believe there's some power in negative thinking. I think the positive in Him, there's not all the promises of God in Christ are yea. They are positive. Everything about the Lord is positive. Everything about man is negative. But look in Isaiah. Notice what he said in Isaiah. I wanted to just give you a few verses. Notice in Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. I tell you what, go back to 45, then we'll go to 46. I mean, man, you ought to read chapters 44, 45, 46 of Isaiah. Notice in Isaiah, which one did I tell you? 45? Notice in verse 5, I am the Lord, there is none else. There is no God beside me. Verse 6, the latter part of the verse, I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am the Lord, do all these things. Notice down in verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. Notice in verse 18. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Over and over. Come to verse 21. Verse 21, the latter part of the verse. And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look unto me and be saved, O the ends of the earth. For I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow. Every tongue's going to swear one of these days, man, they're all going to bow before the holy and righteous God. He is able to do that that he said he'd do. You can put your confidence in that. You can put your trust in that. But you know what people put their trust in? They say, well, I'm trusting the book, but you might be trusting the wrong part of the book. All the Bible's for me, but it ain't all to me. But look in Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And you won't find nobody. Nobody's going to do that. Nobody's going to declare from the beginning to the end. He ain't going to tell. They can't do that. God knows it all. He sees the beginning and the ending. He said, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Calling the ravenous birds from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. He's able. That's the persuasion that you need. That's the persuasion that I need. That's the belief that brings this. I am persuaded. God said it. I am persuaded he's able to do it. That's the faith that God's looking at. Belief with these three things. Number one, God is able. He's mighty. Back in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, now unto him, the Lord, that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, not, you remember, it's above, all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. The power that worketh in us, yep. That power's verse 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened, be strong with might, there's that word, by his spirit in the inner man. Do you realize you have the spirit of the creator of heaven and earth? in an inner man that's in you. And your faith in Him is that power. Well, how much faith you got? Everything's going good, got a lot. Man, Lord's good. Everything's paid for, driving a good vehicle, live in a warm house. All my friends got friends and all, yeah, man, God is good. Praise the Lord. Something comes along, feet get knocked out of you. Oh, Lord, what it did. Where's that goodness at now? You see, sometimes, folks, we just think, but when the going gets bad, you better have the faith. People lose their jobs and things and their money and their hard times hit them. Things go wrong. Then they begin to question the Lord. I want to tell you, He's the same God. You just live in an evil world. And there are evil people out there in that world to hurt you. Notice the second thing. Paul believed that he was able. Abraham was persuaded back in Romans chapter 4, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Now I want you to turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 11, and I want you to see how faith works. God had told Abraham, said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And that son came along a year later, and he was 100 years old, and Sarah had a son, and he called his name Isaac. And so, finally, Sarah wants Ishmael kicked out. He's probably somewhere around 15. So Hagar takes her son, and because the son of the bondmaiden is not going to be heir with the other, his son. So time goes on. Isaac's a pretty good grown guy. One day God tells him, says, Abraham, I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. Now, God had been told him that the seed was coming through a natural seed. Here he is over 100 years old. Now, he's saying, how in the world is this going to be? But he staggered not at it. And look what he did in Hebrews. Notice in Hebrews, let's see, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now here's his faith. Abraham goes ahead and takes him up there on that mountain, and he is intending on slaying his son. They go up there and they leave the servants, and here Isaac and Abraham's going up there, and they're carrying the wood and the fire and going up there, and Isaac looks over at his dad. And he says, I see the wood, I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God Himself will supply the sacrifice. And up that hill they went, and he built an altar, and Isaac had to be willing. Abraham's an old man. Isaac was a young one. No way that man could have got that man, or a young man on that altar, unless he was willing. Somewhere in my mind, no doubt, God, Abraham had told his son, I want to offer you, but don't worry about it. Here's his faith, verse 19. Accounting that God was what? Able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him. In other words, he was dead when he received him in a figure of him. And he said, I'm going to slay you, offer you, but God is able to bring you back to life. And Isaac said, okay. Isn't that a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks? I mean, here the God or the Father said to the Son, I'm going to have to offer you as a sacrifice, but that's okay. I'm going to raise you up again. And Jesus Christ believed. And Isaac, no doubt, believed. Abraham was persuaded that he was able. Even though he's going to kill this promised seed. That's faith. Number two. Verse two, he said there, perform. He was not only able to do it, but he would do it. It means the word perform is to perfect. Finish, accomplish, to do. Notice in back in Philippians again, in the verse that I read to you. You see, a man, God could be able to do it, but will he do it? There's your faith. God is able to do that he said he'd do it. Have I not said it? Will I not do it? Yes. Notice in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Folks, he started something in you when you trusted him as your Savior. He took up his boat. He baptized you into the body of Christ. He started a work in you, and he will perform it till the day of redemption, when you get be a finished product. He will perform it. Look in Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. That word not only is finished, performed, finished, accomplished, to do, but it also means perfect, perfect. Verse 3 says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect? There it is, by the flesh. In other words, do you think that you can accomplish what God's going to accomplish in your life by your flesh? Isn't that what religion teaches you? That if you do certain things, God will be pleased with you. You have to do it. It's not you doing anything. It's God working in you. Look in back in Philippians chapter 2. I should have told you to hang on there. Notice in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out. I mean, you work it out. It's an outworking of your salvation. Notice verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is working in you. God Almighty will perform that which He said He was going to perform. You know what it is? One of these days, we're going to be glorified. One of these days, He's going to deliver us. One of these days, we are going to be like His Son. The last thing that I want you to see, notice this thing about the faithfulness. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Three things that real faith is. God is able to perform what He said He'll do. And He's faithful. He'll never let you down. He's not like man. He's faithful. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He'll make a way for you to escape so you can bear it. He didn't say He'd take it away. People's got the idea of temptation being something that's tempting them to do something. That temptation, look in Galatians there. In Galatians chapter 3, I believe it is. Folks, it ain't just... it's chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Paul had something wrong with him. Notice what he said there in verse 12, Galatians chapter 4, verse 12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Yea, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. He had an infirmity. Verse 14, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despise not. He had a problem. He had a sickness. He had an infirmity in the flesh. And he said that's a temptation. You know what it was tempted for him to do? He probably could have quit doing what he's doing and got better at it. But he suffered and kept on going. And God said, he prayed to God over there in 2 Corinthians 12. He said, because of the abundance of the revelation, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. For this thing I besought the Lord three times to have it to remove. And he get it removed. But God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And God provided Paul a doctor to go with him about everywhere he went. And he could bear his temptation. Folks, sometimes temptation is in sickness, in something that bothering you, a thorn, something that causes pain, mentally, physically, whatever. But I want to tell you, God is faithful. We think because He is God, we should be exempt from sickness, pain, and everything. You live in a sin-cursed world, in an old, vile body, a sinful body, and that body's going to get older. It's going to get diseased, and that body eventually is going to die and be put in the ground, and the worms is going to eat it. And folks, just because you're saved, you're not exempt from these things. In fact, God said, we're not only to believe on Christ, but we're to suffer for Him. I tell you, when people get closer to the Lord, that's when they are suffering. Come on, folks. You know when the sun's shining and the birds are singing and everything's going down lovely-dovely and everything like that. I mean, there ain't no much praying going on. There ain't much trusting going on. You know, I was reading some things about in the Great Depression. where men lost everything and they'd soup lines and everything, and they'd have to go down there and you'd hear the mothers and the daddies out praying to God for their food and praying to God for their families, and they was trusting in the Lord. The body of Christ was trusting, but because we come rich and increase with good and all of it have need of nothing, you forget the Lord. But let something happen. Go to a doctor and have that doctor to say you have an incurable disease. Oh, pray. Things we love and dear in our life, not much when you don't have the health to enjoy them, well, are they? But I want to tell you, even in that, God's faithful. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians, and I'm going to close. 1 Thessalonians. And I want to look in three other passages. You thought I was going to say one. Look in chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know what he's talking about? The sanctifying, setting you apart, preserving you. God's doing that. Look in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3, verse 3. Said, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says in verse 13. Let's see, no, I can't find it there. Verse 13. I'm going to go back to verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Three things to have faith. You want to be righteous? You got to believe something. What do you got to believe to be righteous? The gospel of Christ. Believe that the one that says, I'll save you if you'll believe on my son, I'll give you eternal life. Believe that he died for you on the cross. Believe that he was put in a tomb. Believe that God raised him the third day for your justification. Believe I'm a sinner, I need eternal life, but he died for me as a sacrifice, and I'm putting my trust, my confidence in him. I'm persuaded that he'll save me if I'll do that. Believe it. And if you are saved, three things about faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. You got to be that God is able, that he will do what he said he'll do, and he's faithful to perform it. I hope you got something out of it. May the Lord bless you till next week.